Good morning. Welcome to the Bikecast. It is November 12th, 2010, 2 days out from the 235th birthday of the Marine Corps. And yesterday was Armistice Day, which was renamed Veterans Day, when the war to end all wars turned out to be just the beginning of the bloodiest century in human history. I didn't get around to Facebooking yesterday. Elisa was saying that there were more thank the vet comments than she would have expected. I'm not that surprised, though. I think that for most Americans, the constant drumbeat and the mythology surrounding the armed forces and their goodness and heroism and courage, and most of all, the fact that we owe them everything, that everything you enjoy is based on the military. That meme is so infrequently questioned, and evidence of its prevalence shows up on a day like Veterans Day. If you're plugged into the mainstream media via cable, say, then that's all you're going to hear. You're not going to see anything else. In social networking, there may be some kind of debate. If you seek out alternative media, you will get another viewpoint, or a whole series of viewpoints, and I guess that's kind of going to be the point of today's podcast. There's a pretty diverse set of approaches in dealing with veterans versus the military and U.S. foreign policy and whatever. I'm making this up as I go along, but it was occurring to me that it kind of takes place in three phases in the United States in this instance. There's the Vietnam phase, where the stories go anyway, that the soldier was held as responsible as the engineers of U.S. foreign policy. Then, in Desert Storm and on into the current suite of global wars, there was a tendency to split support for the individual soldier or the soldiers from support for the foreign policy. So being against the war but supporting the troops became a fairly common position. I think now, and this is decentralized, it's not a central decision by anybody, I'm sure, but now there seems to be a handful of people that are taking a third position, which is one rooted in empathy. The third position pulls the role of soldier and the individual holding that role apart, so that you can be against the wars and you can identify the job of soldiering as that of a mercenary, but there is still empathy for the 18-year-old kid from Nebraska who is caught up in a lifetime of pornography movies, and the propaganda of mainstream media has been failed by the public school system and is in a position where joining the military is a very attractive option compared to the alternatives, and with only a vague notion of what life as part of the killing machine will be like, especially when the ethos of that killing machine has been so grossly misrepresented throughout the young man or woman's entire life. Another lovely feature of public school, among other things, of course. This distinction between the role of soldier and the human accepting that role is obviously fraught with all kinds of difficulty, but I don't think that one can go far enough in condemning the role of soldier. And I understand that the role of soldier is just a concept and it is an actual human being that drops the bombs or launches the rockets or tortures the prisoners. When one gets to that point, one is no longer functioning as a human being in any meaningful sense. That person has become the abstract role of the soldier, and it will be quite a challenge for them psychologically for them to step out of the role of soldier ever, which is another goddamn tragedy, because if your life is over due to the horrible, horrible shit you've seen before you're even 20, then that's a human life set on fire. That is, it has the very strong potential to be an amazing human life arrested in the role of hitman and then just left to rot. It's with this tragedy in mind that the role of soldier must be presented honestly. As I talked about in a previous podcast, and it's not a huge mystery, that part of the allure of the job in the military is that you are universally honored, or nearly universally honored, that you will be thanked for your service, that you will have protected the freedoms of the rest of America, etc. This is a tremendous incentive, and the joining up of so many 18-year-olds is due to this gross misrepresentation of the moral character of soldiering by almost all people and all media. Being a soldier has the same moral content, identically, as being any type of assassin or hitman. That is to say, you are paid to kill whoever you're told to kill. If somebody takes the money and follows the orders, they are an assassin. If they take the money to support the assassin, then they are a mercenary. It may be that the world needs assassins and mercenaries, and even if we make that assumption for the moment, nobody wants to admit to having that job. It is not a socially embraced, beloved role that is seen as courageous and honorable and blah, blah, blah. It's dark and seedy and highly morally questionable, and that is exactly what the 18-year-old should have reflected back to them when they are considering whether or not to take a job with the military versus another job and its societal implications. Trashmen are not beloved, but trashmen are far more honorable than hitmen. So there's a push and pull at play because, as I said, there is no maximum amount that one can justly condemn murder and people who murder. And the more vociferous the condemnation, the less likely someone is to take that gig. And the less people to take that gig, the better for everybody. But I don't feel comfortable condemning the people, at least not across the board. I'm coming up on the end of the ride here, but also I would be remiss if I forgot to point out the true villains around Veterans Day and the birthday of the Marine Corps. And that is, of course, the group of people that trick these kids into signing up, having provided them a shit education that prepares them for nothing except obedience and compliance, and has raised the hurdle for entry into the economic sphere so high that only menial labor is available without extensive diplomas and licensing and certification. And then once having them herded into the uniform and into battle formations, deploys them around the world as cannon fodder at the behest of who the fuck even knows. I'm going to guess they're wealthy and politically connected. This entire apparatus of state corporations and state administration are the true enemies of humanity. That's an important thing to keep in mind on Veterans Day and every day. Well, if you have any questions or comments, stop by jaddavis.com, jad-davis.com. Leave them there. I really appreciate everyone who's listening and commenting. So thanks again, and until next time, take care. Good morning. Welcome to the Bikecast. It is November 12th. 2010, 2 days out from the 235th birthday of the Marine Corps, and yesterday was Armistice Day, which was renamed Veterans Day, when the war to end all wars turned out to be just the beginning of the bloodiest century in human history. I didn't get around to Facebooking yesterday. Elisa was saying that there were more thank the vet comments than she would have expected. I'm not that surprised, though. I think that for most Americans, the constant drumbeat and the mythology surrounding the armed forces and their goodness and heroism and courage, and most of all, the fact that we owe them everything, that everything you enjoy is based on the military. That meme is so infrequently questioned, and evidence of its prevalence shows up on a day like Veterans Day. If you're plugged into the mainstream media via cable, say, then that's all you're going to hear. You're not going to see anything else. In social networking, there may be some kind of debate. If you seek out alternative media, you will get another viewpoint, or a whole series of viewpoints, and I guess that's kind of going to be the point of today's podcast. There's a pretty diverse set of approaches in dealing with veterans versus the military and U.S. foreign policy and whatever. I'm making this up as I go along. But it was occurring to me that it kind of takes place in three phases in the United States in this instance. There's the Vietnam phase, where the stories go anyway, that the soldier was held as responsible as the engineers of U.S. foreign policy. Then, in Desert Storm and on into the current suite of global wars, there was a tendency to split support for the individual soldier or the soldiers from support for the foreign policy. So being against the war but supporting the troops became a fairly common position. I think now, and this is decentralized, it's not a central decision by anybody, I'm sure, but now there seems to be a handful of people that are taking a third position, which is one rooted in empathy. The third position pulls the role of soldier and the individual holding that role apart so that you can be against the wars and you can identify the job of soldiering as that of a mercenary, but there is still empathy for the 18-year-old kid from Nebraska who is caught up in a lifetime of pornography movies, and the propaganda of mainstream media has been failed by the public school system and is in a position where joining the military is a very attractive option compared to the alternatives, and with only a vague notion of what life as part of the killing machine will be like, especially when the ethos of that killing machine has been so grossly misrepresented throughout the young man or woman's entire life. Another lovely feature of public school, among other things, of course. This distinction between the role of soldier and the human accepting that role is obviously fraught with all kinds of difficulty, but I don't think that one can go far enough in condemning the role of soldier. And I understand that the role of soldier is just a concept, and it is an actual human being that drops the bombs or launches the rockets or tortures the prisoners. When one gets to that point, one is no longer functioning as a human being in any meaningful sense. That person has become the abstract role of the soldier, and it will be quite a challenge for them psychologically for them to step out of the role of soldier ever, which is another goddamn tragedy, because if your life is over due to the horrible, horrible shit you've seen before you're even 20, then that's a human life set on fire. It has the very strong potential to be an amazing human life arrested in the role of hitman and then just left to rot. It's with this tragedy in mind that the role of soldier must be presented honestly. As I talked about in a previous podcast, and it's not a huge mystery, that part of the allure of the job in the military is that you are universally honored, or nearly universally honored, that you will be thanked for your service, that you will have protected the freedoms of the rest of America, etc. This is a tremendous incentive, and the joining up of so many 18-year-olds is due to this gross misrepresentation of the moral character of soldiering by almost all people and all media. Being a soldier has the same moral content, identically, as being any type of assassin or hitman. That is to say, you are paid to kill whoever you're told to kill. If somebody takes the money and follows the orders, they are an assassin. If they take the money to support the assassin, then they are a mercenary. It may be that the world needs assassins and mercenaries, and even if we make that assumption for the moment, nobody wants to admit to having that job. It is not a socially embraced, beloved role that is seen as courageous and honorable and blah, blah, blah. It's dark and seedy and highly morally questionable, and that is exactly what the 18-year-old should have reflected back to them when they are considering whether or not to take a job with the military versus another job and its societal implications. Trashmen are not beloved, but trashmen are far more honorable than hitmen. So there's a push and pull at play, because as I said, there is no maximum amount that one can justly condemn murder and people who murder. And the more vociferous the condemnation, the less likely someone is to take that gig. And the less people to take that gig, the better for everybody. But I don't feel comfortable condemning the people, at least not across the board. I'm coming up on the end of the ride here, but also I would be remiss if I forgot to point out the true villains around Veterans Day and the birthday of the Marine Corps. And that is, of course, the group of people that trick these kids into signing up, having provided them a shit education that prepares them for nothing except obedience and compliance, and has raised the hurdle for entry into the economic sphere so high that only menial labor is available without extensive diplomas and licensing and certification. And then once having them herded into the uniform and into battle formations, deploys them around the world as cannon fodder at the behest of who the fuck even knows. I'm gonna guess they're wealthy and politically connected. This entire apparatus of state corporations and state administration are the true enemies of humanity. That's an important thing to keep in mind on Veterans Day and every day. Well, if you have any questions or comments, stop by jaddavis.com, jad-davis.com. Leave them there. I really appreciate everyone who's listening and commenting. So thanks again, and until next time, take care.